When I got off the school bus, the very first thing that caught my eye was the patch of dark cloud overtaking the sky. Damn. Mom told me to take the umbrella, but like always, I didn't bother to listen to her. As I walked down the narrow road surrounded by woods, I could hear low rumble of an upcoming thunderstorm. Cold wind started blowing my hair and jacket. Suddenly, I felt someone was following me. I stopped and turned, but all I could see was the long, empty road behind me. I began walking again when I saw a man coming out of the woods. He stopped in front of me and said,
"You need to come with me."
I glanced at his face with a confusion, but he took out a badge from his pocket.
"Look, I'm a cop, and I caught your brother smoking in these woods. If you want his bail, you need to follow me then,"
he said, on a serious tone. Now, my brother Max is no saint, so even though it all seemed pretty redundant, I still chose to follow this guy because he was a cop. Why would a cop lie to a 14-year-old, right?
"Okay, let's go. Mom will be so mad,"
I replied nervously. The man didn't say anything more and started walking into the woods. Daylight has almost gone by then, and he turned on flashlight to make way. As we walked, I could hear the coyotes howling at distance. The weather was getting worse, and I could see our house at the distance.
Will he spend the night in jail?"
I asked with hesitation, but the guy didn't reply, just kept walking. I asked the same question again, and he stopped. He suddenly held out a taser to my neck and screamed,
"I ain't no cop, so just shut up and keep walking."
The hair at the back of my neck stood up. I've come pretty far from my house. Judging the distance and the weather, I was confident that if I try to run or scream, I'll probably be dead. I knew I half walked into a trap and was standing in the deep woods with my kidnapper.
Fine. I'll do what you say.
He stared at my face for 5 seconds, then grabbed my left hand and started to walk. I didn't protest, just let him do what he wanted so he doesn't hurt me more. After walking for half an hour, we reached near a big boulder. The man pointed the flashlight under the boulder, and I could spot a trap door. He pulled it open, and broken stairs led to a dark cavern.
"Get in!"
he screamed. I looked around me one more time, then quietly went in. It was an old bunker, probably made during the wars for the army to stay hidden during the nights. There was a rugged mattress in one corner and an old wooden chair next to it. Empty beer bottles were rolling on the floor and a small light bulb hung from the ceiling, which looked new. So, he had this all planned beforehand. What happened after is a lifelong trauma that lasted for 10 days.
Shut up!
He would go out once a day and assault me every night. I let him do vile things to me, just so I can stay alive. At nights, I would wake up from pain and a dizzy state just to see him lying right beside me with an evil stare and an ear-to-ear smile. I could hear low sounds of birds chirping, owl hooting, lying on the dirty mattress, and that's how I counted days. Tears rolled down my cheek every time I thought of Mom and my brother. Will they ever find me? How will they know that I'm here? I almost lost my hope when one day I saw the man playing game on his phone. I asked him if he let me play as well, since I have nothing to do. By then, he has started to believe that a timid, naive girl like me won't even think about escape because she prefers being alive. My act of submission helped me to gain his trust, so when he gave me his phone, I continued playing on it. He watched me, then dozed off, drinking on the chair. And once he did, I texted my mom. I finally made the move. I deleted the text and pretend to fall asleep as well. My ears waited to hear the cop siren and barking of sniffer dogs. An hour went by and finally, I heard it. I opened my eyes to see my abductor going frantic. He was throwing glass bottles all over and cursing me like hell.
You called the cops on me? I trusted you,
he shouted.
Hands up! You're under arrest!
On September 6 of 2006, 14-year-old Elizabeth Showoff was kidnapped after she got off her school bus by a guy named Vincent Filiaw. Vincent gained her trust by posing as a police officer. He walked her around in the woods and kept her prisoner in an underground bunker. Filiaw stripped her, restrained her with chains, and tortured her several times a day over the duration of her 10-day captivity. On 11th day, Elizabeth convinced Filiaw to let her borrow his cellular phone to play games. Once she had his phone, she texted her mother and friends, who contacted the police. Filiaw was arrested carrying a taser, pellet gun, and a knife. He was charged with kidnapping, possession of illegal weapons, and impersonating a police officer, with other assault charges. The night of April 15th began like any other. It was a Friday evening and I was finally free from the grind of my job as a lawyer. I enjoyed a fun dinner with some friends over drinks at a local pub. Nothing out of the ordinary, right? Nothing that would prepare me for what was about to come. By the time I got back home, the hum of city life seemed to be dying down. I live alone in a fancy apartment complex in Houston, Texas, secured with gates, cameras, and round-the-clock guards. It was the kind of place you were supposed to feel safe at. I got out of the elevator, unlocked my door, and got in. Tired, I could only take off my shoes and threw myself onto the bed. Deep sleep came right away. I don't remember if I was dreaming, but I do remember hearing a thud, like someone closed a door. My deep slumber prevented me from opening my eyes, but then I woke up. There was something heavy on me, pushing me into the mattress. My chest constricted, my throat sore with pain. I reached down blindly and froze. There was a man. He was sitting on top of me. The pale moonlight coming from my window illuminated his bloodshot evil eyes, staring right into my soul. He was holding a knife to my throat, which was sharper than my luck. Before I could scream, I felt cold, the cold steel on my neck. "Don't make a sound," he spoke slowly. My mind was racing. Is this real?
"Please, don't hurt me,"
I whispered, my voice cracking. He smiled ear to ear and said, "I can't promise that." My heart pounded in my chest. Fear rooted me to the spot, but survival instincts kicked in. I thrashed and screamed as loud as I could, hoping that someone, anyone, would hear me. I started kicking my hands and legs, trying my best to push the man away. His knife flew into the dark corner of my room. Still, he pinned me down with his weight. We struggled like this for a few seconds, and then out of nowhere, he ran the knife, aiming my neck. Pain exploded in my body, and warm blood poured down my chest. I could feel air and blood choking my vocal cords. "Damn, I'm really gonna die." I pressed both of my hands on my neck, trying my best to stop the bleeding, but the man gave me no mercy. He started dragging me off the bed. I kicked and clawed desperately, trying to get away from him, but he yanked me into the bathroom and threw me on the cold tiled floor. Trails of blood was everywhere. "Stay here," he barked before stepping out of the bathroom. My mind screamed at me to move. This is my only chance, I realized. I wedged myself against the bathroom door, planting my feet against the bathtub and pushing with everything I had. My hands were slick with blood as I pressed toilet paper to my throat, trying to stop the bleeding. Every sound outside the bathroom was amplified, the shuffle of his footsteps, the rustle of my belongings, and then I heard him closing the zipper of his pants. Is he done? Is he leaving? Silence. Minutes felt like hours as I waited, frozen in fear. What if he comes back? What if he stabs me again? At that moment of life and death, I could only see two options. Either I stayed here and bled to death, or I try saving my own life while I can. Summoning every ounce of strength, I pushed the door open. My hand slipped on the knob, sticky with blood. Panic surged, but finally, the door gave way. The apartment was eerily quiet. The power was cut off and my landline was out of service. My attacker had done his homework. But something in my brain registered. My office phone. With shaking hands and blurry vision, I dialed 911.
911, what's your emergency?
I clung to the phone like a lifeline. The calm, steady voice spoke to me on the other side of the line.
Help me. I've been attacked. He cut my throat. I'm bleeding.
The dispatcher, Richard Everett, kept talking, anchoring me to reality. Stay on the line, Jennifer. Help is on the way. I crouched by the door, holding my phone like a lifeline, my vision blurring, my head swimming from blood loss, but forcing myself to stay awake. I quietly whispered to myself,
"Stay with me, Jennifer. Stay with me."
Jennifer Murray survived a harrowing attack in 1995 in Houston, Texas, when a man broke into her apartment. The intruder, later identified as an off-duty security guard, Brian Gibson, who assaulted her and slashed her throat. Jennifer fought back fiercely and managed to lock herself in the bathroom despite severe injuries. Her 911 call led to a rapid police response, ultimately saving her life. Though Murray's throat was slashed by Gibson's knife, he missed her jugular vein by millimeters. Brian Wayne Gibson was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 20 years in prison. It was December 2022, and I was scrolling through Bumble again. Everyone around me was settling down, getting married, buying homes, starting families. At 30 years old, I felt like I was falling behind. Teaching kept me busy during the day and football was my escape, but the nights were so lonely. That's when I saw his profile, Ashley Gaddy, 33, a traddie from Sydney's Inner West. His pictures showed a strong, confident man with intense eyes. "I'm looking for something real. Tired of the games. Want to grab a coffee?" We matched and within minutes he messaged me. He seemed different from the other guys, more mature, more focused on finding real love. When we met for our first coffee date, I felt butterflies in my stomach. He was even more handsome in person, with strong hands and a gentle smile. "You know what I really want? A family, a real connection, someone to build my life with." 2 dates later, I knew I wanted my friends to meet him. We rushed, maybe, but he was the one, or I thought so. So December 17th came and I was nervous. I'd never brought anyone to meet my friends before. The Christmas drinks at the pub in Martson Park seemed like the perfect opportunity. Ashley arrived to pick me up and everything felt perfect. The night was going well. My friends spent most of it getting to know him, my new man. Then came the drinking game. Someone asked about past relationships.
"Well, there was this one-night stand."
But just then, I saw Ashley's face change instantly. "We should go." My friend Taylor offered to let us stay at her place since we'd both been drinking, and around 1:30 a.m., we went to the spare bedroom. The moment the door closed, I knew something was wrong, terribly wrong. Ashley's face had completely changed. His gentle smile was gone.
"You just had to tell everyone about that guy, didn't you?"
"Ashley, it was nothing. It was before I met you."
"You made me look like an idiot."
"Ashley, please. You're scaring me."
"Scaring you? You have no idea what fear is."
Everything happened so fast. He jumped at me like a wild animal, throwing me to the ground.
"Help! Some—"
"Shut up!"
His hands squeezed my throat so tight I couldn't breathe. I kicked and tried to fight back, but he was way too strong. Then the punches started coming, one after another, straight into my face. Oh God, the pain. I'd never felt anything like it. Blood was running down my face and I couldn't even scream anymore. I tried so hard to push him off me, scratching, hitting, anything I could do, but he was just so much bigger than me. Everything was starting to go dark. The last thing I saw was his face. His eyes were wild, full of hate, his teeth clenched. God. He looked nothing like the sweet guy from my Bumble matches. The next day, Taylor came to check on us. We hadn't come out of the room all morning. She opened the door, expecting to find us sleeping off our hangovers, but instead...
"Guys, are you awake there?"
There I was, just lying there on the floor. He'd thrown a blanket over me like I was garbage. My face was all smashed up and covered in dried blood. Ashley was gone. I never knew the truth about him. I never knew about the five women who had taken out AVOs against him. I never knew he'd been convicted of choking another girlfriend just a year before. I never knew he was on bail for assaulting another woman when he met me. I never knew I was dating a monster. The story was inspired by the real murder of Danielle Finlay Jones, a 31-year-old teacher from Sydney who met Ashley Gaddy, 33, on Bumble in December 2022. After just two dates, Danielle brought him to Christmas drinks with friends at a pub in Marsden Park. That night, they stayed at her friend Taylor's house in Canebrook, where Gaddy murdered her in the spare bedroom. Police documents revealed Danielle was beaten and strangled to death. Her body was discovered by Taylor the next afternoon, covered with a blanket. Gaddy fled the scene and was arrested 2 days later after a 12-hour standoff with police in the Blue Mountains. The investigation revealed that Gaddy had a history of violence against women. Five different women had taken out AVOs against him between 2016 and 2021. Just 1 year before killing Danielle, he had been convicted of stalking and choking another girlfriend, but was deemed a low risk by a magistrate. At the time he met Danielle, he was actually out on bail for allegedly assaulting another woman. Gaddy was held in jail after his arrest, where he was later found dead in his cell. The case has led to stricter bail laws and better safety measures on dating apps.